Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Art of Seduction, warm, wonderful poetry compelling you to the edge of your seat, sultry, seductive, and scintillating, ink to make you shiver, to make you sigh. I am Pam Ray. With me as always is my co-host Naomi Sarah. Naomi and I are poets on a website called All Poetry with a group of poets called Late Night Poets. You don't have to belong to the group or the website to call in, to share, to listen, and enjoy, but it is highly recommended. Tonight is our sensual poetry night. We do not do vulgar or explicit, but if you find that this show is not your cup of tea, please check out our other shows. We have 1 to 2 shows per night on a variety of styles of topics and poetry, something to suit everybody's taste. And hello, Naomi.
Hello, hello. Yeah, well, better today. Getting over my
cold. Good, yeah. After taking more sinus medicine than I probably needed to, I finally started getting a little more cleared up, too. So, you know, and...
Yeah. Well, they do say, you know, it's the minimum that you can take that they have on the what is it, the same word in English, posology? What's recommended to take?
The dosage.
It's really the minimum. Yeah, I already asked the pharmacist about it, and, you know, you can take more, but anyway.
but they don't take any chances. Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably want to err on caution. But I'm going to go ahead and tell people about our topic for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi and I ran a contest on All Poetry where we offered up the cards, the tarot cards of the major arcana, along with their basic meaning of each card. And so people could either write to just the theme of tarot, they could write to the artwork on the card, or they could write to, you know, the meaning of the card. You know, and it was interesting to see the variety of, ways that people were inspired, you know, by the prompts or by the theme.
Yes, indeed.
Don't you think? Yeah.
Some that went with great stories. A lot of stories.
Yes, I liked that. You know, it's fun to see. It's always fun to see people using their imaginations. I always get a big kick out of that. And yeah, and then it was also really neat to see, you know, like how some people really wrote about the cards that were an important part of their life or had meaning in their life before. You know, just a nice variety of responses, and each one had a sensuality in its own way, and that's mm-hmm. always really cool.
Hi to Robbie and Casey out on the board. Hi for listening.
Cool.
Yeah, they're out there listening. Casey says, hello, my love. Casey says, hello, my lovelies.
listening in.
She's so nice.
It's always nice to know that people are listening in. I appreciate that very much. And
So, as of right now,
we don't have anybody on the phones yet, but why don't mm-hmm. we go ahead and the show started. So if you want to go ahead and
we have quite a few poems that could get to. So I'm going to put up the first poem. And if you can give that a read, Pam.
Oh, I would be happy to. All right. And let me just get back to Late Night Poets. And all right. Bathed in the Major Arcana by Mandy 42. And it goes like this. It's an Empress Moon, and tonight I bathe in her crown of 12 stars. She favors a lilac frost. She's the residue of the world's pink roses crushed, quartz falling through my shutters onto meadows of white wheat and jonquil, But you, my blush, I loom when you slide inside my golden emperor with the butter of your barley fingers brushing over cashmere and bright rubies. I climb to the cusp of your mountain and you roll my facets on your tongue. I'm honeyed when you take me between teeth and gushing for the blackbirds in your irises. Leaf me with the garland of your peaks, your flows. Drape me my red velvet over the silver of your armor. Rosé runs over pomegranates and full eggs. Unfurl the petals of this empress' mouth. Flood your river on the song of a full-throated dove. Poem. Oh, that was just absolutely a stunning sensual rite. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I love the lines that she has in here. I mean, the metaphor she used, the description of the Empress Moon herself in the beginning, you know. She favors a lilac frost. She's the residue of the world's pink roses, crushed quartz falling through my shutters onto meadows of white wheat and jonquille. And you, my blush, are the bloom when you slide. I just love that, how she took that sentence. Now, I love the flow, the formatting of this poem. It goes along with the wonderful flow and the wonderful wording. It climbs the cusp of a mountain and you roll my facets on your tongue. I'm honeyed. And she has, I'm gushing. You know, she has such beautiful imagery all throughout this. Just a beautiful, beautiful rite.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you. There's a really nice flow to these stanzas in both the shaping and the word choices. And wonderful imagery all the way through. And what I like is that it mentions both the Empress and the Emperor as if there's two lovers, two partners who are of equal value to each other. You know, there isn't a one standing over the other. There's an equality within this. I really like the imagery, especially in that second stanza. I climb to the cusp of your mountain, you roll my facets on your tongue. I'm honeyed when you take me between teeth and gushing for the blackbirds in your irises. Just a wonderful choice of imagery all the way through. And that ending, it just sizzles. It really does. It's hot. Unfurl the petals of this emperor's mouth. Flood your river on the song of a full-throated dove. I like that the sensuality in this involves so much use of the mouth. There's I don't know what the right word is. I know oral is the right word, but I'm trying to think presentation isn't right. But you know what I mean? Like the mouth, the use of the mouth factors into this rite beautifully. Mm-hmm. I think it's just absolutely wonderful.
I know we're in French, but it's probably not the same in English. But rosé runs over pomegranates and full eggs. She used a lot of there's color in this. I just love the black birds in your irises. That's just amazing, you know, to describe the blackness of the iris there. Black birds in your irises. See, it's a unique phrase there. Never thought of using. Just wonderful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said there. And what you got for us next?
Next I have. I'm going to get back to the page. Next I have the priestess and the Magician by S.C. De Haven. You maybe saw this poet before, but I've never seen him. Of course, I'm new to the show, so, or maybe it's a her. I think it's maybe it's a her, right? The priestess and the magician, inward gazing, sitting silent, finding meaning in the slant of moonlight, in the portents of feathers falling, in the cool, slick glass of a mirror, waiting in the temple, breathing incense and boredom. Years pass like amber, slow and beautiful. I wait for you, my magician, the one who can spin shit into gold, the master of sparks. Hold the stars in your hands and silver coins on your tongue. I can taste the metal we kiss. I can feel star fire in your touch. Your eyes are black as night, my love, and in them I am the moon. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. And yes, I have seen her writing before, and I've seen her on shows, though I don't remember if I've seen her on The Art of Seduction, but I know I've definitely ran into her before plenty of times. And yes, and I always admire her poetry, how she says so much. In this write, in a poem that's not too long, not too short, you know. And she says in the AN, when I read tarot, I have certain cards that mean certain people. The High Priestess is my card, and my girlfriend is the magician. And so I think the AN, well, I think this is a beautiful poem that stands well on its own. The AN really adds to the depth of it, because it now becomes more romantic, more about a strong connection, you know. And this is beautiful all the way through, but I really like of moonlight in the potence, of feathers falling in the cool, slick glass of a mirror. You know, the slick glass of a mirror is just, it's, well, first of all, there's something beautifully sensual about that phrasing. But it, to me, it also speaks of looking at someone who is your twin soul, your soulmate, you know. And, you know, my magician, the one who can spin shit into gold, master of sparks, hold the stars in your hand and silver coins on your tongue. You know, there are some people that no matter how hard life gets, how difficult life gets, they bring richness into your life. And then in return, as she says in the end, and in them I am the moon. It's, you know, not only the richness brought into a life, but the light brought into the life. As if, you know, because, you know, the idea that providing that light that helps the moon to shine, you know, beautifully written and very well done. And you read that beautifully, yeah. Naomi. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I also love the parts that you mentioned, but also that last stanza really brings it all together there. I can taste the metal we kiss. I can feel star fire in your touch. Your eyes are black as night, my love, and in them I am the moon. It's just a beautiful way to finish out an amazing poem there. Just brings it all together. I am the moon. And yeah, like you said, just a beautiful poem all the way, you know, just like a kind of a tribute to her partner here, my magician. And yeah, so like you said, some people, they just bring, you know, richness into your life and, you know, satisfaction. All that satisfaction. So when you find that person, it's so divinely sublime. So just a great write all the way through here.
So true. And what do you got for us next?
Well, next I have... I'm getting there.
Oh, I completely understand how that goes.
Changing pages. there I am. I have one that you can read, Pam. I just got it up.
All right. This is In Touch by Time Teller, and it goes like this. Can we see tomorrow clear as today? Do we have to borrow one another's way? Are we together or is it in my mind? Always keep asking, tarot seeking that place to find. And do we travel nowhere or stay on the move? Are you wanting truthful or do I finally fit a groove? Are we on the road? Do we still see into each other? Or is this the curtain, the veil of crystal covers? Take me with you. Bow me down to my knees. I'm trapped in ignorance as a fool. Devour me, please. You curl and rise, red lips. Melt and simmer, foil for sips. Swirl and ravage those thoughts, beauty and dreams convert. Running rivers, contaminated tears. Lost without you, I'm inside my fears. Reach to grab your arm, be there just one more yarn. Cut the room like a shard of light, part the dust, shine so bright. Bow me senseless to my knees, Empress Lady, devour me please. End poem. Ooh, I like that ending, and just a really wonderful emotive write. And your thoughts, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I really like this one. As we together, or is it in my mind? Are we together, or is it in my mind? Always keep asking, tarot, seeking the place to find. So she put in the tarot cards, so cleverly fitted into the poem, and then she puts in the fool. I'm trapped in ignorance as a fool. Devour me, please. And then in the end, well, she kind of puts in, yeah, she puts in the Empress Lady in the end. So I see in this poem that she put in like a lot of different persons, at least two that I see maybe into this poem, you know, that's so wonderfully crafted. I just love running rivers, contaminated tears, lost without you. I'm inside my fears. Reach to grab your arm, be there, just one more yarn. And then the ending, of course, is just amazing. So just a wonderful, wonderful write by Time Teller here.
Oh, absolutely. And just so you know, Time Teller is a guy. Just want to toss that in there. Yep. It is difficult to tell if you don't know somebody, neutral, some names. Yep. But I really have to agree with you. There's wonderful lines in here. And what I like is that, it starts out with those kind of questions that I think everybody can relate to, that sense of doubt, that sense of seeking answers when it comes to a relationship. I really like that there were different references to the tarot, and even the line, always keep asking, tarot seeking that place to find. And some other beautiful lines were you curl and rise, red lips, melt and simmer, foil for sips, swirl, ravage those thoughts, beauty and dreams convert. I thought that was a whole wonderful stanza. And I also really like the phrase, the veil of crystal covers. There's something very mystical about that. And of course, as pointed out, that just, the wanting to be devoured, Empress Lady, devour me, please. Just absolutely wonderful, seductive lines, and beautifully written and very well done. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And what do we got next?
Well, we have Casey on the board. So she has a SoundCloud. So we'll play her, I guess.
Absolutely. Sounds good to me. All right, here we go.
Read me free verse. Avocation floats in puddles lining the banks of long-forgotten backroads. In summer night air, dreamers are catching falling stars with their tongues. But I woke up alone again in your bed. You've been gone for so long that I'm crying to the sky, still trying to prove that I don't need hope to fly. You were always shades of cool blue, but the memory of you is an ocean, and I'm suffocating. If I was rich, I'd have bought a little more time, but I don't have a dime to my name, so I'm broke, waiting on the sun to come and turn it all to smoke. Diamonds in my eyes turn to dust, I think of us, transient under my heavy chest. We rest inside the spaces of my ribcage, dancing to murmured heartbeats. The universe is ours, yet we still gaze up at the stars, and God slips through my crumbling fingertips. But I still close my eyes. I listen. We live fast and die slow. In between, we paint our rainbows.
Wonderful read and write there, Casey. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call into the show, recording your poem is the next best thing, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. I tell you, Casey, she has a performing voice. She just knows which tone, she knows which tone, the pause, pitch, and punch to really make it work for the particular poem. And I really like how in this one, it's so emotive, because she balances out the sadness and the sensuality, the how it's all about remembering someone and remembering what they meant to you. Those end lines, we live fast and die slow, in between we paint our rainbows. What a wonderful bit of philosophy. You know, a couple other favorite parts of mine are, in summer night air, dreamers are catching falling stars with their tongues. And then that, isn't that beautiful? And you are always shades of cool blue, but the memory of you is an ocean and I'm suffocating. You know, shades of cool blue remind me, well, blue is a very spiritual color, first of all, but cool blue makes me think of somebody who always had a very calming aura. And then to remember them and to remember what they meant to you and feel, like, I think the memory of you is an ocean and I'm suffocating. It was rich. I'd have a little more time, but I don't have a dime to my name, so I'm broke. You know, just the way it feels, like you're drowning in memories of them. Like I said, beautiful and emotive and wonderful lines all the way through. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I love her opening line. Evocations float in puddles lining the banks of long forgotten back roads. You know, I just love the way she opened up with that line there. It's just a beautiful line, and followed with the line that you mentioned there, that just follows it up. So the catching falling stars with their tongues, you know, the dreamers there, just beautiful all the way through. I just love also diamonds in my eyes turn to dust. I think of us transient under my heavy chest. And then we rest inside the spaces of my rib cage, dancing to murmured heartbeats. The universe is ours, yet we still gaze up at the stars. And God slips through my crumbling fingertips, but I still close my eyes, I listen. And, you know, she, like you said, she pauses at exactly the right moments when she reads, like, just a wonderful, everything she wrote so far that has a, you know, that, well, she's an amazing, amazing writer, but I mean, her sound clouds are just read so like professionally, you know, just amazing. She puts all her heart into it, and you can hear it in her SoundCloud, you know, puts all her heart into her writing, I think. And just a beautiful, beautiful write here, Casey. Wonderfully done.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up that line, "We rest inside the space of my ribcage, dancing to murmured heartbeats," because that was a particularly beautiful line. So great comment there. And what do you got for us next?
Well, next I have, I'm going to put it up. I have one, "Lunar Whispers" by Arcana. And who read last? I don't remember.
Oh.
Is it my turn or is
it
your turn?
I will look.
Let's see.
I will look. Well, I know technically Casey read last,
no,
but who read the...
Yeah.
I read Time Teller.
No, you can read this one. You can read this one. There's big words in here.
Oh, no. I better be getting paid $5 per word then. I'm going to be talking to my manager. All right, this is "Lunar Whispers" by Arcana, and it goes like this. "Bathing neath pallid lunar whispers that speak their breaths on the shafts of light, illuminating lucidity through murky waters, a face stares down from deepest night. Magical alchemy drowns dubious delusion. Illusion streams through drifting dreams, shining for stars through dancing clouds, whilst baying hounds howl in moonlight beams. Purity bathes within pristine promise to reside in ringing mischievous toys. Crawling through minds with a purifying purge, clarity emerges from the swamp of souls. Scrupulous spirit then swims to surface, flourishing to vanquish desolate despair, coalescing credence in voracious visions to rise midst pillars on a pleading prayer. Separation of candor and bluster draws near, reincarnation glides twixt celestial towers, yielding horizons of cleansed contemplation, reflecting the moon's distant heavenly powers." End poem. And I have to say that was just absolutely beautiful use of language, such a classic
mm-hmm.
feel to that poem. And your thoughts,
yeah.
Naomi?
I love it from the beginning to the end. There's a classical feel, but also, you know, like the mist, he brings up all the mystical feeling of the tarot, I think, in this rite. You know, all the there's an aura surrounding it there of, you know, when he talks about the sky and the heavenly powers and the moon and, you know, the celestial towers. You know, it just so beautifully, and I just love magical alchemy in French.
Alchemy.
I'll say it in a magical.
What is it in French?
Alchemy.
You know, it sounds so much better. Sounds so much better in French. I think we should
all
start saying
it
in French.
Magical alchemy drowns dubious delusions. Illusion streams through drifting dreams, shining forth stars through dancing clouds, whilst baying hounds howl in moonlit beams. Wow, that's one of my favorite stanzas. But I mean, you know, that there's so many beautiful lines. I mean, this is full, just so rich and, you know, overflowing with, like you said, this marvelous language, like all through this. Just an amazing, amazing, rich, beautiful, beautiful write here by Arcana. But he always has such beautiful use of language and is in his rights, you know. It's not the first time.
Oh, yep. Definitely not his first time riding this rodeo. That's for sure. And yeah, I really do. As I said, I like how he has a classic. I like that you brought up how there's such a mystical and magical feeling to this, that he's paying tribute to the magic and mythology in the Tarot, but also to the moon itself. You know, I like that this has a feeling of almost like a contemplative worship, but not done, you know, in a religious or preachy way, but in a spiritual way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also like how this is sensual, but there's really, you're not bringing people. It's the sensuality that one gets from observing nature and connecting with nature and finding that magic within. I really like purity bathes within pristine promise to reside in ring mists, sagacious tolls. And the separation of candor and bluster draws near, reincarnation glides twixt celestial towers. A beautiful sense of spirituality and sensuality within these lines that I can really appreciate. And I definitely thought this was very well done. Did you know, by the way, fact, did you know that the
Tarot
were actually originally invented as playing cards? And throughout Europe, there were various different games, that were played using the tarot cards. And then later on, they became used for deviation.
Oh, that's so funny. I coming back to that, I never believed in you know, what tarot readings or whatever, and it was so funny because I went to one of my friends one day, quite a few years, I must have been like 20 years ago, and I was with my first husband, you know, and I had the three kids, and she says, I see in your future a male, dark hair, and a little blonde baby boy. I go, you know, she's full of it, you know. I already have three kids. Like, I'm not going to have another one, that's for sure. And, you know, and things were not too bad with my husband then. But, you know, later on, you know, like a couple of years later, I did, you know, get divorced, and I did hook up with a man with black hair, and I had a baby boy with blonde hair.
Oh my goodness!
And that came back to me, you know, that reading, and I said, like, you know, what the heck? You know, it's like it really, you know, it really, you know. Puzzled me, you know. I said, oh my, you know, it was so accurate, you know. Anyway, it's just a little thing there, but I was really, you know.
That's really cool. Yeah. Well, stuff like that, I always take everything like that with a grain of salt, but I also try to be open-minded about anything, you know, because there's so much in this universe that we don't completely understand, or that we need to be open-minded to, because there is magic in this world, and you know, we can't dismiss it all. So very cool.
And there's probably
story there, though.
good readers, and you know, the ones that just make money too, you know, without
absolutely.
Know, so.
I have no doubt about that.
But I even to this day, I'm still skeptical, you know, about the whole thing there. But that was just like, you know, like for it to be a coincidence, well, it's kind of a big coincidence there. It's like more than a coincidence anyway. And Casey Day says, Lola, I had a similar experience. Okay, so I'm going to put up the next poem.
Well, before we move on to the next one, I'd like to welcome Cashin to the show. And welcome, Cashin. Glad you could join us. How's it going?
Hi. Great. How are y'all doing?
Good. Hi, Cashin. Great that you could join us. So happy. You're right in time to take your male voice to read the poem I have up.
Oh, okay, I can do that.
Did you for real want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay. In Dreams She Moves with CRL 17. Just to see her, watch her as she moves, a reflection of a beautiful spirit, lost. In a childlike imagination, from dawn she carries light. Her sleepless night, she knows where dreams reside. She knows how to whisper to your soul, knows the meaning of silent moments, where love needs no words. See her in your dreams as she casts a spell on you and wraps you in her ecstasy. End poem.
Great read there, Passions. Thank you very much. This is a wonderful write by CRL. To me, what I particularly like about this brevity is that it's sensuality without actually touching. It's sensuality of describing the strength of someone's mind, the strength of their personality, and the strength of their spirit. And I really like this all the way through, but I especially like she knows where dreams reside. She knows how to whisper to your soul, knows the meaning of silent moments where love needs no words. Those to me are absolutely stunning lines describing communication without actually having to speak, that understanding of one another. So this is beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, the knows the meaning of those silent moments. That's so important in a couple, you know. And you get to an age where you finally, for me, I got to this age where I was finally able to shut up a bit and listen, you know, and I get into those moments, you know, where you read the other person, because if you're always blabbing along there, you don't get to live those silent moments. And, I think it's something you learn, for me, for my part, I learned, you know, as I got older, you know, the maturity took over and, you know, that they're so important. Just, you know, sometimes just to stay with a person, you know, just sit beside them and just enjoy the silence and the other one's presence, so important there. And I just love his ending here. See her in your dreams as she casts her spell on you and wraps you in her ecstasy. So I just love the way he finished out this poem. And I like Lost in a Childlike Imagination. He attacked that prompt just wonderfully in this little brevity here. So well done, CRL 17.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Great comment there. And Passions, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
I love the lines that you pointed out. I do also love where love needs no words. See her in your dreams and she casts a spell on you. I want that love. I like to. I want to close my eyes and have that childlike imagination, you know, and to, like you said, you know, or Naomi, it is cool to have that somebody that you can sit with without words being said, and you could practically read each other's thoughts, and no words need to be said. And that's the kind of love that I'd like to find. I would like to have. I mean, that's just awesome. This brevity was well written.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for people to have a childlike imagination, even as they grow and mature. So I'm glad you brought that part up. Great comment there. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, next I have, I'm getting back to the page. Okay, I have one by Betty Page. I'm going to send it. Did it go in? Yeah, okay. Pam, if you can read. No, it's my turn, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Betty Page. On to new adventures. Am I but a fool, wandering lands wild, carefree, seeking adventures? Warm sunlight kisses, waves rise and crash upon sands, shimmering, golden. I ride in surf's curl, flowing wildly in blue's core, tumbling to shore, a rising phoenix, flying over circumstance, strolling through deserts, pink cactus flowers blooming through adversity, on scaff as foxes, climbing up steep hills, determined to conquer all, forests, green pine trees, blue skies all day long, starlight shimmering sweetly neath vivid blue moon, now one with nature, embracing vast universe, lone wanderer, free. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi, and what a beautiful write by Betty Page. I always love her use of imagery in short lines. And passions, your thoughts on this write?
Beautiful imagery throughout this piece. The warm sunlight kisses, waves rise and crash upon sands, shimmering golden. I ride in surf's curl, flowing wildly in blue's core, tumbling to shore. It's beautiful, beautiful lines, the shortness of the lines gives it more impact to me. I think there was a beautiful read, beautiful write. Enjoyed this one.
Absolutely. I have to agree. And there is, and even the shorter lines, not only does it create, because, you know, she goes with I believe it's a 5-7-5 or at least really close to it, syllable count, there's a consistency, but it also makes each image, as you mentioned, more impactful. I really like how she titles this On to New Adventures. I like the idea that life and love and sensuality is all an adventure to be discovered, new things to be discovered. I really like a rising phoenix flying over circumstance, strolling through desert, pink cactus flowers blooming through adversity, unscathed as foxes. Such a wonderful sense of growth and strength and almost like a divine sensuality of the world and of nature. So beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I love how she weaved the tarot card into this, you know. The fool, she chose the fool. And she starts with, am I but a fool? You know, so she weaved the tarot card of the fool into this in such a clever, witty way. Wandering lands wild, carefree, seeking adventures. And then she weaves nature throughout the poem too is spectacular, you know. And, you know, and it does have that sense of mysticism, you know, in the end there when she brings in the blue skies all day long, the starlight shimmering sweetly neath vivid blue moons. and now one with nature, embracing vast universe, lone wanderer, free. So she does bring in the mystical there, you know, with the blue moon and the shimmering starlight there. So just a wonderful rite, you know, so cleverly crafted throughout. Just amazing, Betty Page.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Naomi. And what do you got for us next?
Well, next I was going to, I think I'm going to put up a SoundCloud. Well, I don't think I am.
All right.
I'm going to put a SoundCloud by Weaver of Dreams. There it is.
All right. Sounds good. And let me find that. And here we go.
I feel the divine is all around me. The spirit world is close. Although the past, present, and future may seem unclear, I'm known as Pistic Kate. If you cross my palm with a vodka, then follow it up with a double, I'm your favorite seer. My shadowscape, tarot cards, windows to your soul, show me an interesting spread. The High Priestess, past, the Five of Cups, present, the Nine of Wands, the future. Past, you knew you were different, hoped it wouldn't last. Present, the loss is great, it gets better, there's always hope. Future, have belief in yourself, be strong, there's nothing you can't do. I see an insightful person who has fought to heal themselves. Now accept the helpful, loving hands that are reaching out to you. Love is real, tangible. It comes in many guises. Man for woman, mother for child, lover for lover. But to receive love, you have to break that wall of glass. Reach out past the pain and fear. Hold on to one another.
Great reading right there, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I actually had never seen the word pistic before, relating to or having faith. You know, I just always enjoy when poetry gives me an opportunity to learn something, especially new words. So very cool there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I love how she used, you know, the cards and the tarot and, you know, to send out such a great message, you know, to reach out to the love that one and another can give you there, and to give it back, you know, reach out past the pain and the fear and hold on to one another. You know, I think in these times we need messages like that. And you know, I just love the way she introduced that message, the way you know, she used she introduced the past, the present, the past, the future there, and you know, she went into that great message of wisdom there at the end. So just an amazing write here by Weaver of Dreams.
Absolutely, and I like how you mentioned that she brought up the past, the present, and the future, and that there was a message of love throughout the universe. So great observations there. And passions, your thoughts?
Okay, I may get shot down for this, but just know I love you all. The piece is wonderfully written, and, you know, the past, the present, the future brought up. You know, I'm kind of a little bit leery about the tarot card and all that jazz. I mean, I'm not I'm not saying against it. You know, I'm open to you know, there being possibilities of, you know, people that can do such things as read the cards. I kind of just, she made it interesting for me. I mean, and then down to the bottom where she was, you know, brought into love, is it comes in many guises, and it does, you know, for everybody. It's a different way of loving another person. To receive the love, you have to break the wall of glass, reach out past the pain and fear, hold on to one another, and that's what every one of us needs to do. You know, we need to break down that wall and love one another the way we're supposed to love one another. And I think she did a very, very good job on this piece. It was well read. Enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we are a variety of people with a variety of different beliefs, and the way we view the world and the way we view things that are in the world, you know, and that's what makes being part of a large group, such as All Poetry, or, you know, and making friends on there, you know, a wonderful thing, because you do get to meet a variety of people. And, you know, you don't, the great thing is you can read a poem and not have to 100% agree with it to see the beauty within the poem. So great comment mm-hmm. there. You know, I really like, you know, as was mentioned, how she mentioned in the end about how we need to reach out and love one another. That end stanza is just absolutely beautiful. I also like that she shared with us what appears to be a picture of her own tarot cards, her own, it looks like a kind of a pink crystal. I don't know what technical term it would be, but it, to me, within this poem and within this picture, what's most beautiful is that Weaver shares a part of herself with us. Besides the end, I really like the second stanza. My Shadowscape tarot cards, windows to your soul, show me an interesting spread. The High Priestess, past the Five of Cups, presents me to Nine of Wands, the future. Past you knew you were different, hoped it wouldn't last. What a just intriguing way to show us a window into her life and into herself. So beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Yes, I got Passion's poem up. So Passion, I'm getting it up. So whenever you're ready, you can give that a read for us, please.
Okay. Different ways. Loving you comes way too easy. So many likes over dislikes. I love the way you look at me, the butterfly lashes in sight. How the sweet rose petals peak on ivory tones left bare. Sometimes it's hardest to speak without worry or care. As sighs dance across the skin, every moment sealed in a kiss. At your lips I will begin until no boundaries I have missed. Swallow will your heavenly cries, drink I shall of your sweet chevalry. I am lost in the magic of your eyes and how you are entangled in me. When morning comes, letter on bed, I had to leave without a goodbye. The night it rocked a mess in my head, and I couldn't handle another lie. Night it danced within rhythm and bliss, and within dream I painted love. It started with a sweet nectar's kiss, and you were all I had thought of. But tonight when you called, I ignored it. Alone in bed, there was no you beside me. Several candles settled around your lips, and I longed for some company. Arching to greet the moon, I had interest, fingers dancing along sides of a mistress. Imagination's running and I'm hungry, hungry for the touches beyond mystery. Down to areas swelling, I'm lost in it, grubbing rapidly, ready to submit. I called out your name, but it's not the same, but within an instant I gained. Silence is broken by my mental cries, and breathless I laid in thoughts and embrace. Then in the midst of a journey's surprise, I have saw your face. Without fear, I reached out and called you, and a voice unknown had answered the phone. I listened a bit until a hell burned through. I stood there numbing on my own. Babe, babe, I can explain, just let me please. I hung up, knowing I must move on. I already knew, but didn't want to see past the disguise. Alone, alone I'll stand. And home.
Wonderful reading right there, Passions. You know, I really like how emotive this is, how you took us into a relatable story of that love that really moves you emotionally and physically. And then at the end you take that sharp turn, that betrayal. But instead of crumbling beneath that betrayal, instead of, you know, feeling like you can't move on or you have to accept what is, you move forward with that sense of strength. Alone, alone I'll stand. I'll stand is a perfect ending phrase for this. I really like, swallow I will your heavenly cries, drink I shall of your sweet chablis. I am lost in the magic of your eyes and how you are entangled in me. This is just a beautiful write all the way through and very well done. And surprisingly, more people didn't take the lover's card. So, you know, I like that you took that card and that you wrote to it in such a way that showed the different sides of love, the side that makes you feel safe and the side that makes you feel betrayed. So, wonderful, right? And before I move on, I would like to welcome Frank to the show. Welcome, Frank.
Hey.
Glad you could join
us. Hello, everyone. Hello there, my friend.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there, Naomi.
How are you?
I'm doing all right, my dear.
Good.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I've got to call in for a bit there, Pam. I don't know how long I can stay, but I'll try to stay at least half an hour.
Okay, sounds good. And Naomi, what did you think of Passions Write?
Well, I don't want to imply anything, but the way you read it and the way it was written just sounded so personal, you know, or you made it so that it sounded so personal, which made it almost so magical, you know, in a way, and so much so beautiful. I just love how you dive into it. Loving you comes way too easy. So many likes over dislikes. I love the way you look at me, the butterfly lashes and saw insights, you know, and all through you use beautiful metaphors, you use beautiful imagery, the sweet rose petals peak on ivory tones left bare. That's a beautiful, beautiful line there. And, you know, this is just so heartfelt, you know, and so, it sounds so real to me, you know. Just down to the lines, babe, I can explain, just let me please, you know, that's exactly what somebody would say to you, you know. And then the last line there, but I already knew, you always know. You always know when there's somebody else, I can tell you, you know, from experience.
Mm-hmm.
You always feel it, and there's always those little signs. The person talking too much about somebody else, you know, or, you know, there's always these little signs, you know, and, you know, acting differently, or the intuition, you just know. And at the end there, but didn't want to see past the disguise, alone, alone I'll stand. You know, you take a stand there. You take a stand, and you take a stand strong and alone. So, you know, this is just an amazing write all the way through Passions. I really, 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 really loved it.
Thank you.
And
Great comment there, Naomi. And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, I was able. I was not able to hear the whole poem. I was able to hear, I say, about a fourth of it, but I was able to read it afterwards. I agree. You know, there is. I have to say, there, Patrin, I'm used to your very passionate pieces, and this is one of the first ones I've actually read of yours or heard of yours that really had a sincerity there, a very serene, morose tone to it there. It almost felt that it was an omission of a truth there. The words are they're very, very much very palpable to me. And you know, you talk about this certain lover here, and you talk about how it compares, you know. But you know, the ending there to me is always one that I take, you know, to heart here, because you seem to, and you say, babe, I can explain, just let me please. There's a sense of yearning there that's still in there, although you realize that, you know, the journey perhaps has moved on to a certain extent. You're still left with the pain. You're still left with figuring out, you know, maybe, you know, what can be done, what should be done. And I like the conviction in the end. You say, alone, alone I stand. You know, there is that sense that you are a fallen hero here, but you realize your own mortality here. But I thought you did a fantastic job, and I was very much taken by this poem here, because I've not seen one of your poems of this nature before.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wonderful observations there, Frank. And Passions, did you want to say anything about your poem?
Well, for the most part, y'all were dead on. It's just past experiences, you know, I learned to, let's say, write to overcome those bridges. And this piece was something from an incident long time past. Everything's good now, but it's just, you know, you know that gut instinct. You have that gut instinct, you know, when something is going down, and you need to listen to it. A lot of people don't, and they turn around and they continue on. I stood my ground, and I stood tall, and I wasn't going to allow no one to bring me down, you know, so to speak. So this had a lot of that pain in it that at the time, but I enjoyed the opportunity to release them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm glad to hear that, because I think that's one of, as I always say, the important parts of poetry is being able to release your own emotions, you know, as part of a healing process. So thank you for that. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, next I have Frank's. I actually had Frank's poem already scheduled, so he just got on, and that's the poem I had up.
After this poem here, well, do forgive me there, Pastor, and I know we're going to go to another extreme here from what your poem was, but I had no idea it was going to be the next one, but I do appreciate that, Naomi.
Absolutely. Oh, Lord.
Well, and Frank has provided us with a SoundCloud, so I'm going to go ahead and give that a play. So here we go.
I wrap myself around the sensuality of the gold locks of her hair, enraptured in the alluring nature of the aura of a mysticism connected to the metaphysical realm of the cycles of passion into the constellation of the exotic stars that make me shiver. Dressed in the dripping garments of her eroticism with the sweet scent from the smooth pomegranates permeating a subtle and peculiar tincture of red wine, her cedric lips and lustful eyes emit the spell of her sultry whispers. She is an incarnate embodiment of the purity of love, exuding her sexuality upon tempting cushions of crimson velvet. Like a voluptuous Venus, naked in the lush forest, in gushing waterfall, rejuvenated by the moisture of my kisses. She is impregnated with the infusion of celestial divinity, a sparkling pulchritude of a soaking seduction deflowered. Mis labios se sacian con el sabor de sus besos, y ella es la diosa de mi pasión, el símbolo de mis deseos. My lips are saturated with the taste of her kisses, and she is the goddess of my passion, the symbol of my desire. The symbol of my desire. In the poem,
great read and write there, Frank. What a stunning performance in language and imagery. And thank you for the SoundCloud. Much appreciated.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. And I will comment more, but I want to get the other ladies' comments first. So, Passions, let's start with your thoughts.
As usual, I am totally blown away with this piece. With Frank in general, and he could just take anything and make it sensual, romantic, beautiful. It's just, I love the romance, the passion, the feel of it. I enjoyed the most, I loved it all, but like a voluptuous Venus, naked in the lush forest and gushing waterfall, rejuvenated by the moisture of my kisses. Oh my God, beautiful imagery. Beautiful imagery throughout, but that just took my breath away. And of course, I always love when he does the Spanish and then, you know, because I understand, I can read Spanish pretty well, so I was like, breathtaking piece. You did a fantastic job on this, Frank.
Right, appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir, my dear. Thank you very much, Passion. I try to make it passionate as well.
Wonderful comment there, Passions. And yes, absolutely. Like as you said, that one part of Voluptuous Venus was particularly good. And there was a strong to romance within the life. So great comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Well, first of all, Frank, I love the formatting of this poem. I love how you start for the every stanza with the few words there with the little I don't know what that's called in English there.
Okay.
And you know, I just love that. And if you read them, I wrap myself enraptured, connected to, dressed in, permeating. She is like, I just love that. And I loved how you started out this poem. I wrapped myself around the sensuality of the gold locks of her hair. I just love that. That you took the hair there and you used it. And there's so many much else. And I love that you went into the constellation of the exotic stars. So you brought the mysticism into the poem, all the mystic, you know, of the tarot cards into the poem. And this, when you say infusion of celestial divinity too, you know, I just loved the it all the way through. I think it was an excellent, very passionate and well written poem, Frank. Just bravo on this.
No, I appreciate that. I forgot to mention that the prompt that I chose was the Empress there.
Mhm.
Yeah, wonderful choice of a prompt there, Frank, and great comment, Naomi. I'm glad you brought up that you used this well with the when you mentioned the aura of her mysticism, and you know the mention of the stars. You know, like you fit the use and the meaning of the meaning and the visuals of the Empress card into this right very well. Connected to the metaphysical realm of the cycle of passion, to the constellation of the exotic stars that makes me shiver. And what I particularly like about this rite is the fact that it's sensual, and it can speak to one woman, but it also, to me, to the strength and the sensuality of women in general. Because to me,
yeah.
The Empress represents that strength that women have.
Yeah, that's very true. I just have to say really quick, this poem here, or this piece here, was very much inspired by the things that I've read. I don't do tarot cards. My ex used to do them, but I did know a lot about information as she used to do this. And so I did a lot of little bit of homework as well, on the characteristics of the Empress and things that, you know, were known and written about this character or this card like that.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that because, as you know, I'm a big fan of people who do research, you know, because I do think it adds to the depth of a poem when you do your research and use that within your writing. And I do like... there's some wonderful stanzas through here, but I really like permeating a subtle and peculiar tincture of red wine, her citric lips and lustful eyes emit the spell of her sultry whispers. And I also like the part that Passion's brought up, of voluptuous Venus naked in the lush forest. I like that you seem to be a man who appreciates curves, and that comes through in your poetry. So... wonderful, right, Frank, and very well done.
Well, I
appreciate
curves
and tattoos.
Curves and tattoos.
Yep, there you go.
You told me before that you had gold locks of hair, but not true.
Yeah.
You what?
What's that?
No, I said, Pam, did you not say that you had gold locks of hair?
Me?
No, it's only a joke there.
Oh, sorry. I'm like, what? I think I've had too much Merlot. Sorry.
But there you go. I thought you'd catch on quickly to that.
What do you got for us next, Naomi?
Okay, well, next I'm going to have Frank read one, and then Passions read one, and then we'll get into the sound clouds that we have left. So, Frank, if you can read the one that I have up on the board by Incubus.
Yes, this is called Foolish Desires, and it goes like this. She made the fatal error, like oh so many had before her, to take this man as a fool by his grander gestures and misunderstood mannerism. But like a plastic surgeon beneath the mask, this jester cut and tucked, reshapen the conversation in certain slices of seductive silicon, silicues, and plastic pretense of pageantry that made the heart beat faster, a master of his artistic craft. If a gentle touch up here and there, he could make a woman blush upon all four cheeks. His silver tongue had left many a mark in places not so often visited by the more righteous tourists. No thief ever made away with so fine a trinket as this fool could steal with just a look, a touch, a kiss. For fool I may be, but I have the last laugh in the poem.
Great read there, Frank, and a wonderful write by Incubus, too. I like how he used the fool card to write a sensual write that has an undertone of darkness. So very well done. And Naomi, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I thought, it was very, very witty write, the way he played with the fool there. I just enjoyed that so much. You know, there's like an undertone of humor, of dark humor in this, you know. Like he is the fool, but, you know, he's not the fool because, you know, he's like a plastic surgeon beneath the mask. This jester cut and tucked. You know, the way he uses the plastic surgeon, and then he the metaphor, the plastic surgeon there, and then he uses to, you know, he's reshaping conversation, inserting seduction, plastic pretense, you know, everything to make the woman's heart beat faster and the woman blush. And, you know, he leaves his mark. So I just thought this was, you know, and to the last line, for fool I may be, but I have the last laugh. So the right to the last line, I just thought this was such a witty, clever write, well written, and, you know, just an amazing write here by Incubus, too.
Absolutely. I think witty was a perfect word to describe it. And I like that you brought up that it had that dark humor to it. So great comment there. And Passions, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would have to agree. I part of that darkness, too. And I've read a lot of ink poetry, and this is no surprise, a great piece. I enjoyed it all. I just I like the no thief ever made away with just so fine a trinket as his fool steal with just a look, a touch, a kiss. For fool I may be, but I have the last laugh. It's exceptional to the very last line. But as y'all stated, witty and humorous. I liked it.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Frank, your thoughts?
Yes, I have to agree with all those comments there. I like the way his expression in this poem here, because the fool was one of those that I thought about, I was going to think about writing about, but I decided the other one. But I think he uniquely was able to be inspired by the prompt there, and he gave it his own spin. I certainly like the characteristics that he described of the Fool, you know, in particular as a jester there, you know, in as well as being a seductor, you know, in many ways, not just seduction in sensuality, but also being a seductor in wordplay, you know. And I thought he did a fantastic job. But I like that last ending there with, you know, the Fool could still have just a look, a touch, a kiss. Could be a lover, could be a thief, could be a friend, could be a foe. So he did a remarkable job in just encompassing the aspects of the nature of the Fool.
Absolutely. Well said there. Great observation. Yeah, I really like how there's a certain sense of humor and a certain strength within these lines. Like, it's about that somebody who has been played before and learned to play the game themselves. I thought this was great all the way through, but I especially liked that second stanza and, you know, and the end, no thief ever made away with so fine trinkets as this Fool could steal with just a look, a touch, a kiss. There's a real... a sense of learning that game of seduction. So wonderfully written and very well done. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, next I have Mamia because she was on the board. So if Passions, if you can read Mamia's poem.
Okay. And it all falls down for Mamia. Brick by brick, layer by layer, slabbing the mortar, we builded up higher. Enclosing ourselves within thick walls, a world unto our own, no other can cross. For a time we were in bliss, safe in each other's arms, enchanted by each other's charms, every moment punctuated with a kiss. Standing on the rooftop under a canopy of stars, I professed my love, yet you denied me yours. Bewildered, I asked why, the readiness to reciprocate. You said you're not ready, not now, but it's too late. We were both shut in, my heart in shambles. Each glance from you, I remembered my shame. You blindsided me, you used and abused me, yet you would pulse by me. Oh, woe was me. So I took the shovel and dug into the mortar. You tried to stop me, but there was no turning back. Slowly, I made headway, then the rumbling started. You would be mine one way or another, under the stars or buried in rubble. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Passions, and a beautiful emotive write by Mamia. I'm glad she was inspired. And Frank, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah. Yes, I thought it was a very powerful poem, yeah, the emotionally visceral, you know, it's like the sadness there is. There's so many, there's an evolution in it. And I did a fantastic job in her poetry. I've read and I've heard her poetry. She always metaphors and imagery. And make it even more tangible. I thought she did a remarkable job there. I just want to say really quick, I'm going to have to run there, Pam, but I thought this was a great poem.
All right. Well, you have a good night, and thank you for calling in.
Good night.
You're
thank
welcome.
You, Frank. Good night.
Buenas noches, everyone. Take care, my friends. And I'll listen to the recording afterwards. Yeah, bon me. Take care.
Yeah, I have to agree that this definitely is layered with the variety of emotions that she provides in this write. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, this is another witty write. You know, she took the tower and, you know, brick by brick, layer by layer, slathering the mortar, we build it up higher. And closing ourselves within thick walls. So she's building that tower around them, you know, around their love. And then when he turns her down, I think she starts to build another tower, you know, but a tower downwards, you know, like a grave for both of them, you know, or for him anyway. So the amazing dark ride and, you know, an amazing finish there. I didn't predict that dark ending there, but it took me by a marvelous surprise. But just a strong, powerful dark ride here, man. Yeah, and I just loved how composed it. She built it up line by line, and she used the tower as so cleverly in the poem. So just bravo.
She really did. Her choice of a prompt, she used it all the way through the poem, almost like an extended metaphor. So really great observation there, Naomi. And passion, you read that beautifully. Your thoughts?
Thank you. I agree. She used the tower throughout beautifully. You know, she built that tower up surrounding their love. And then towards the end, I feel that she, as quick as she built it, was as quick as she was tearing it down. And if she couldn't have them under the starlight, she was going to have them under the rubble. And it was well done. I appreciate this good poetry. This is great.
Absolutely. Well said there. Yeah, I like that she used the tower and the references to it all the way through. And it was about the building of the tower and then the crumbling of the tower. And I like how this is emotively layered, like there's sadness, but there's also romance and sensuality. Bewildered, I asked why the residents are to reciprocate. You said, you're not ready, not now, but it's too late. We were both shut in. My heart's in shambles. Each glance from you, I remembered my shame. I mean, those lines hit like daggers to the heart. So just beautifully written and very well done. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
I thought I put it up. Oh, I didn't.
You
I
did, guess. Yes.
Eric Svensson? I don't
yes,
see it
Arrow
anymore.
Arrow Ticker Tape. Parade by Eric Svensson.
Eric Svensson. I
yep,
have to go get it again.
And we have a SoundCloud. So here
yes.
we go.
Tarot Ticker Tape Parade. Ticker tape of tarot cards rain down. Slow motion waltz and weave downward. Burnished bronze, ribald russet, and canary yellow autumn leaves. Unseasonal urge for guidance from beyond gravity's gravitas. World wrapped up in thunder, blunder, blitzkrieg, war storms again. Trembling hayfork fingers scratch thunderclouds. Ticker tape of tarot cards holds the answer. Just before the ticker tape tarot card cloud burst begins, the bard says, he is come to open the purple testament of war. Macbeth. Waltz wave of wheat fields like in a slow motion science fiction movie. No mystical crop circles in size, compliant, obedient wheat fields. Scarecrow's thick fingers reach heavenwards, clutch to catch a tarot card in this unworldly ticker tape parade. Winter blizzard scathe decapitates my head, just as the Hierophant card stares me in the face. Oddly enough, close by, Miller and Scully exclaim, the Hierophant, tsunami tidal wave momentum sweeps across wheat fields worldwide. 7 billion scarecrows rake in the scarred with stick fingers. Slow motion montage of Van Gogh's wheat field with black crows. Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor streams through my decapitated head, where it nestles between red wheat stalks. Oddly enough, or contrary to what's expected, I'm still aware. No white tunnel opens up. Well, not yet. Operatic osmosis seems apt, or would mutation be a better word? 7 billion decapitated heads flash mob sing Beethoven's Ode to Joy. The Hierophant being intuits while I kneel before it with my hands tied behind my back, antler horns in abeyance. Beside me, my divine feminine aspect does the same. Masculine and feminine, war and peace, night and day. Tolstoy's War and Peace comes to mind. The Hierophant persists. What script do you choose? Stay trapped in duality's macabre, murderous dance, or choose freedom. End poem.
Wonderful reading right there, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I like that Eric took the Hierophant card, which is a card of a spiritual message. And with the image of the artwork from the Hierophant card, he created a poem that shows a world of balance, of peace and war, of the masculine and the feminine. There's a sensuality to this that is also entwined with a sense of darkness. World wrapped up in thunder, blunder, blitzkrieg, war, storms again, trembling hayfork, fingers scratched, thunder clouds, tickering of tarot cards holds the answers. You know, I like that there's an idea of seeking answers in a time when the world is full of war and violence. I also really like, oddly enough, close by Milan Skull exclaimed, the Hierophant, tsunami tidal waves, momentum sweeps across wheat fields worldwide, 7 billion scarecrows rake in this card with stick fingers. You know, I like the idea of the scarecrows as a metaphor for those who are trying to protect the crop, protect the world, but realize that they can't do it on their own. Operatic osmosis seems apt, or would mutation be a better word? You know, I like how this talks about, as I said, the balance, the masculine and the feminine, and how they're both a part of oneself, and, you know, they're both have this freedom of expression. So I thought this was a beautiful write with intriguing imagery and very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, I love how it's referenced to so many, you know, so many works and so many artists throughout that enrich this poem, like, yeah, to Van Gogh, for example, or to Bach, you know, or to Beethoven, you know, 7 billion decapitated heads, flash mob sing Ode to Joy. You know, that's quite a line there, and quite a powerful image that he sends out there, right in that line. You know, as usual, and then Tolstoy's War and Peace. great novel there. You know, but as always, you know, Eric, his work is so rich and so deep and so layered in so many ways. You know, you have to read it a couple of times to just grasp all the little details and all the implications of his writing. Just a wonderful, wonderful, deep, rich write here. So amazing.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment there. And your thoughts, Passions?
Well, this is one of those pieces that I would personally have to read a couple of times. It has a lot of great detailed images in here. Not something I normally read, but it had my attention. And towards the end, I was where the hierophant being into it, while I kneel before it with hands tied behind my back, antler horns and advance. Beside me, my divine feminine aspect does the same. Masculine, feminine, war and peace, night and day. As a couple, they do get together as a something mutual during this time. It's a beautiful piece. I would like to. I actually bookmarked it so I could read it again. I wanted.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, great comment there. And the, you know, that's what the wonderful thing about some poems is that they really grab your attention. So really great comment there. And Naomi, what do you got for us next?
Well, next I have My Chariot by EA, and we have a SoundCloud for that.
Oh, we actually don't. Someone will have to read it.
Okay, we don't. Oh, okay. So, Pam, do you want to go ahead and read it?
Absolutely. And just so you know, her name is actually Ia.
Ia. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And this is My Chariot by Ia. And it goes like this. My chariot built as a winter sleigh, twin seahorses entwined its figureheads, shall carry me into upcoming way of being everything beyond the dead, into a land ancestral consciousness determined in my course to pre-exist. The spiral of each tail shall be smelt to separate consonants of iron, to set as runners the ice will melt, in order I am seated where I burn, to rise again a phoenix of the Celt, determined to for the victory I earn. Once I have crossed the ice fields of myself, my chariot of seahorses in turn, and poem. And yeah, I thought this was just absolutely a beautiful write. And I'll comment more, but I want to make sure to get your ladies' thoughts first. So Passions, let's start with you, your thoughts.
This is a beautiful piece. From beginning to end, I love the second stanza. Spiral of each tail shall be smelt to separate the vision of the iron, who shall as runners that the ice will melt in order, and I am seated where I burn. It's just beautiful images here, and it's like to be buried, yet to not be buried, but to, yeah, to be buried and to rise again, a victor, is a remarkable piece. She did a great job on this.
Absolutely. It is a remarkable piece. I'm glad you brought up the part of how it talks about raising up as a victor. And this is, I don't know how exactly to pronounce it, but Vonnette. It looks like She has a whole list of 149, and I've never even written one of this form. So you know what? I'm going to have to give it a try. If somebody can have 149 and I have zero, well, gee, I should have at least one.
Me too.
Right? Me and you both. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, I was just reading her AN, and it's a kind of a you know, amazing how she was inspired actually by snowmobile races. She says, you know, and the chariot card is connected to your natural drive and determination and can indicate an upcoming victory. So, you know, she just thought between the snowmobile races that she had watched yesterday, I guess, and between that and the tarot card with the Celtic symbology of the seahorses, I came up with this poem. That's what she wrote in her AN. So that's quite amazing, you know, how sometimes, you know, little things can trigger our muse there and, you know, make us write, you know, let us write. So, yeah, this is just an amazing, you know, the her imagery, the my chariot built as a winter sleigh, twin seahorses entwined its figureheads, shall carry me into upcoming way. And all the way down to, you know, to rise again, a phoenix of the Celt, determined for victory I earn once I have crossed the ice fields of myself by chariot of seahorses in turn. Just amazing, right? But I'm just fascinated on you know, her AN there, but just an amazing, amazing, right?
Yeah, it truly is. Great comment there, Naomi. And I like that she added in her AN, the information about how she came to the idea of this, right? And it's so cool that, you know, there's vintage snowmobile races that she saw, and then she's within the tarot card of the chariot. She saw the Celtic symbology, and it all came together. You know, so that really adds to the rite. The wonderful thing about this, though, is the rite would stand on its own without that AN,
mm-hmm.
but as I said, it adds extra to it, which makes it more intriguing. I also live in an area where, you know, we have not vintage snowmobile races, but we have vintage snowmobile shows during a winter festival that we have every year. So I think that's really cool. But I like this all the way through, and I do like how it's about that idea of that self-strength that you find. I really like into a land ancestral consciousness determined in my course to pre-exist. And in order I am seated where I burn to rise again, a phoenix of the Celt determined for the victory I earned. Such a wonderful sense of strength and self-renewal and self-confidence. Within this rite. Beautifully written and very well done. And what do you got for us next, Naomi?
Well, next I have Thank You, Star by Pink Fairy. So I guess it's my turn to read. This is a short one. It's called Thank You, Star. And it goes like this. Delight and hope resonate into my truth. I am glad I stopped at this seer's table today. This card was the one I was hoping to see. Out of all the cards, it is an optimistic healer. Renewal and rejuvenation are within my reach. My spirit leaps with a joy I had not seen for a while. I feel inspired to reinvent myself now. Thank you, Star. End poem.
Great read, Naomi, and what a wonderful write by Pink Fairy 5. It's always great to see her. And I think there's so many little so many parts of this brevity that fit well with her. I feel like she's sharing a part of herself, but it's also part of herself we see so often with her interactions and her poetry. And the an optimistic healer, renewal and rejuvenate, I feel inspired to reinvent myself now. You know, there's so much to me that speaks on the personality of someone who is has a positive energy to them, like Pink Fairy 5, who has a thankful energy. So I think this was just a wonderful sharing of self and beautifully written, very well done. And Passion, your thoughts?
I have to agree with you 100%. I like the out of all the cards that she got what she wanted, and the renewal and rejuvenation are within her reach, and she leaves the joy and she looks for it, and then she is feels inspired to reinvent herself, and that's a good thing, and she did an exceptional job in a few words.
She truly did. Great comment there. And Ilmi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, like you said, this does go along with her optimistic personality, and I think she poured a lot of herself into this, right? And, so just an amazing, personal and, you feel her. You feel her presence in this, right, which is wonderful. So, happy that, she was inspired to write and to share so much of herself with us through this, right. So just a wonderful job here, Pink Fairy.
Absolutely. And what do you got for us next, Naomi?
I'm going to put one up. But did we do She
nope.
Reigns Supreme? Pardon
nope,
me?
Nope, we have not read that one yet.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Okay. So, Passions, can you go ahead and give this a read?
Okay. She Reigns Supreme by Kay Heartless. In a realm that is neither black nor white, alive nor dead, feet nor head, there's a cloudy bed where sits the high priestess. Wisdoms go between a figure of shadowy existence, sibling of Persephone. No seed can be wasted, no truth ungleaned. Veiled visionary, she is a window pane to the sacred spaces without and within. Bound by blue robes, drawn with diadem, Christ crossed her shield, the crescent moon, a foothold for her feet. She is sanctuary, her voice retreat. Established strength, the feminine and masculine, Artemis arrows and Isis ink, she gives her blessing, accepts our thanks. The third pillar, the path between, she is wisdom to all who pull her. The precognitive mother, keeper of dreams, go to her. She reigns supreme. End poem.
Great read there, Passions, and what a wonderful write by Kay Heartless. I really like how she uses the High Priestess card to convey a woman of feminine and masculine balance, of strength. And so many wonderful spiritual references throughout here. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, I so agree. Just the way she opens up the right, in a realm that is neither black nor white, alive nor dead, feet nor head, there is a cloudy bed where sits the high priestess. Wisdoms go between a figure of shadowy existence. I just love the way that she starts this, and then her imagery throughout, the blue robes drawn with diadem, Christ's cross, her shield, the crescent moon, a foothold for her feet. I just love his description of her. You know, she really, really brings her to life in this right here, in incredible, incredible lines. Just it's just well written here by Kay all the way through. Amazing, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I have to agree. And I do like how she creates a sense of balance within those first lines in a realm that is neither black nor white, and wonderful imagery throughout. I really like also no truth ungleaned, veiled visionary. She is a window pane to the sacred spaces without and within. The third pillar, the path between, she is wisdom to all who pull her, the precognitive mother, keeper of dreams. This is such a beautiful representation of the High Priestess card, but also of this spiritual strength of women. So beautifully written and very well done. And passions, your thoughts?
Well, you took everything that I was going to say, all the lines. They're beautiful lines. I like the third pillar, the path between, and she's the wisdom to all who pull her, the precognitive mother, keeper of dreams. It's beautiful, beautiful imagery throughout this piece. They did a great job. All lines. I mean, in the realm that's neither black nor white, alive or dead, feet nor head. I like how they mentioned the High Priestess as well. And it's just a remarkable piece. They did an exceptional job on it.
It truly is. Absolutely. Great comments there. I'm not going to have us try to rush through one last piece. Anything left over, I'll find another show to put them on. I don't know where yet, but I'll let people
know. We don't have a lot. We don't have a lot of carryover, so that's good.
Yeah, so that's good. And we will find a spot for them, the couple that we do have. So very cool. Thank you, as always, Naomi, for being a wonderful co-host. I appreciate you every week. Thank you, Passions and Frank, for calling in. Thank you to Robbie, Casey, and Mamya for holding the board. Really appreciate you all. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now, or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time on Thursday for Double Helix, where the topic is being a renegade. How are you a renegade? And then Friday, 12:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time, we have Break On Through with poetry inspired by the artwork of Salvador Dali, and Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time, Open Poetry with Fill My Eyes and Company. And, of course, as I always say, make sure to keep an eye out on all the contests put up by our hosts and hostesses and late night poets and the topic boards, because you're sure to find something to inspire you.
There's an amazing one up by Captain B2 and Daniel DeShino there. If any of you guys want to check out a great contest with awesome art, check out for Saturday. Their show is going to be amazing. And there's still a lot of
that week
contest
from Saturday. But yes, you're right. Absolutely amazing artwork. Now, this Saturday is Bad Company with Gray Eye Smith. And then we'll be exploring
they do every second week. I'm still getting used to the schedule.
Yes. I know sometimes it's all hard to keep track of. But thank you very much, Passions, for calling in and joining us. And And thank you, Naomi.
You're welcome.
And have
good
a good night,
to
everyone.
You too.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, Passions.